Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Amber and Ian are out tonight. He's Jake Asman. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. This is Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Could also tell your smart speakers to play ESPN Radio. Got a couple games in the association. We had a few games that are already in action right now, but a couple tonight. 10 p.m. Eastern, Bucks-Warriors, 10:30 Eastern, Kings-Lakers. So a little late-night action here on the East Coast as far as the association goes to keep you busy into the night. And let's get into a little bit more of it. ESPN senior NBA writer Andre Snelling's on Amber and Ian with us. Andre, thanks a lot for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. So I'm interested in what happens tonight with the Bucks and Warriors for a couple of reasons. You know, the Bucks, they've won six in a row, but also specifically the Warriors coming off of that 52-point loss to the Boston Celtics the other night. Did that game in Boston, did that mean more for you in regards to the Celtics or the Warriors?
It honestly didn't mean a lot to me overall. I guess if it meant something, it would have been more about the Celtics because they played so great. That Warriors team that showed up on Sunday was so blatantly not their norm. I happened to be in Boston this last weekend for the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference, and there were a lot of sports analyst personalities in town. And I talked with somebody the night before the game that was there for they cover the Warriors, and they told me, they were like, you know, Steph's a little bit banged up right now. He's tired. You know, Andrew Wiggins is still away from the team for personal reasons. And, you know, he was kind of, you know, letting me know, like, yeah, there's a chance that this gets ugly tomorrow. And I don't think even he would have expected to get that ugly. But it also told me that, you know, this was kind of expected. And if you listen to the Warriors afterwards, from Coach Steve Kerr to the players, they all kind of said, you know, Draymond was talking about how they decided to try guarding Jaylen Brown by self-checking. And self-checking is what you do to the guy at the YMCA that can't play. It's not what you do to Jaylen Brown. And so, you know, I think that's a turn-the-page type game. Before that game, the Warriors had won 11 of 13, and I think they'll still be that level of team moving forward instead of the one that got beat by 107.
Andre, staying with the Celtics, I mean, best record in the league, obviously dominating the Eastern Conference, you know, that, you know, losing last night aside. Championship or bust for them? I mean, would you take the Celtics or the field if you were placing a wager?
If I was placing a wager, I'd take the field because I think the Celtics are good, but I don't think there's a single team that's dominant or has separated itself so much from the field that I would take them. Like, you know, there have been times back in the day, like, okay, some of those Warriors teams, you might have taken them against the field, or, you know, some of the elite, you know, the three-peat Lakers or the Bulls on their dynasty run. The Celtics haven't even won eight championship yet. You know, like, they, like the Nuggets still have the claim as the baddest team on the block. So, you know, if you're going to give me the field, then I'll take them. I think the Celtics are good. I can agree with those that would say they should be the favorite, but I there's definitely other teams that I would be worried about if I only could have the Celtics.
Now, we got Andre Snelling here with us, ESPN senior NBA writer on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. He's Jake Asman. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. Andre, I wanted to look at the rookies with you here. Now, two things. Is Victor Wembanyama running away with the MVP award? I think he is. And the second part of that question is, are you good with Chet Holmgren being considered rookie?
So first of all, if you saw the 2000 slam dunk contest, after Vince Carter dunked the first time, Kenny Smith yelled, "It's over!"
Yep.
The rookie of the year race is over! I think outside of the 65-game limit, and we're getting close to that now, I think that's all Wembanyama has to do for it to be official. He gets the 65 games. He's going to be the rookie of the year because he came in with so much hype, and he's frankly outpacing it. You know, he's as good as we hoped that he would be as a rookie. We talked about him as the most hyped rookie since LeBron James. And much like LeBron, he came in with all that hype and then played even better. And so he's doing things on the court we've never seen before. I just saw the stat. In the last 9 games, he has more than 50 blocks and 20 three-pointers made. And he's the only player in NBA history to ever do that. Not the only rookie, the only player to ever do that. And so yeah, Wimby's going to be your rookie of the year if his leg doesn't fall off before he gets to 65 games. As far as Chet Holmgren, he gave it a good run because Holmgren had a heck of a quote-unquote rookie season. He's the defensive anchor on this surprising upstart of a Thunder squad that's battling for the best record in the league. So for a while, even though Wimby maybe had more flashy stats, Holmgren could stay in the race by, you know, pointing to the scoreboard, saying, "Hey, but look, my team is winning." But he's since fallen behind because Wimby is starting to do alien things. And when it comes to Holmgren being a rookie, I mean, I'm okay with it in the sense that he's not the first. You know, Ben Simmons won Rookie of the Year his second year. Blake Griffin won Rookie of the Year his second year. You know, it's something that we've seen before. He's not really a rookie any more than Patrick Mahomes was a rookie when he took over after sitting out most of his first year. But, I mean, they've been consistent with it for whatever, 25, 30 years. So, you know, I guess I won't get too upset about it.
Andre, how about the MVP race? Is there a path for Giannis to still win the MVP?
There's a path, but it's gotten narrow. You know, this MVP race has been a good one because I really feel like if Embiid wouldn't have got hurt, he was going to win a second one in a row. You know, he had a pretty strong stranglehold on it, even despite how many great performances we've seen across the NBA. With Embiid out, more than likely is Nikola Jokic that's the odds-on favorite. You know, ESPN Bet has him at like -150, I believe, you know, to win the award. So that makes him the favorite. Giannis could get back into it because, so if you look at the top of the MVP race, you've got Jokic is got the shortest odds, and then you've got SGA is second, and then Luka is third, Giannis is fourth, and Jason Tatum's fifth. Well, Luka and Jason Tatum both, to me, have half of a case. Luka has ridiculous personal stats, but it hasn't translated to winning for his team. Tatum has he's the best player on the best team in the league, but he doesn't have the personal stats. Giannis actually has the stats. He's doing things like he's currently averaging more than 30 points on greater than 60% shooting from the field. That's something that's never been done in NBA history. So that's something he could hang his hat on. The problem for him was the Bucks couldn't defend a wet paper bag for most of the season. But coming off the All-Star break, they're channeling their inner Detroit Pistons, bad boy Pistons, and they're holding teams under 100 points a game, which is kind of unheard of in today's NBA. So there's only 20 games left, but if they keep doing that and Giannis stays healthy, there is a path that he could make the argument, see, I'm not just having an elite offensive season, I'm also still one of the best defensive players in the league. And if they keep holding teams under 100, the Bucks are going to win a lot of games. And so, you know, there's a path he could get back into it. I think he's 14-1 right now. But I think Jokic is deservedly the favorite.
Andre Snellings, ESPN senior NBA writer, here with us on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. He's Jake Asman. I'm Jonathan Zaslow, in for Amber and Ian tonight. So if I'm looking to get in on some action tonight, Dre, Bucks Warriors, Lakers Kings, is there anything there that we like?
Oh, yeah. I've got a few things that I like. And first of all, I make picks for ESPN Bet multiple times a week. I had an article running today. And I hope if anybody out there read my article, they took my advice and went Jordan Poole over 17.5 points, because last time I looked, he had 13 and it was the second quarter. So I think he's on pace to go over. As far as the Bucks and Warriors, I like the under. The total is, I believe, 227.5, and I'm going under because, again, the Bucks have started playing defense. And the Warriors, outside of that game, they got mollywopped by the Celtics. They've been playing defense, too. I think while the Bucks have been allowing their opponents to score like 98 point-something points per game since the All-Star break, the Warriors have been at about 104. So if you add up 98 and 104, you're getting closer to 202 than 227. I expect this to be kind of a defensive-minded playoff feel of a game. And so I'm liking the under in that game.
Okay.
And what's the other one you mentioned, the Lakers and Kings?
Yeah, Lakers-Kings.
I'll take the Lakers, and I'll give the points. I think they're a 2.5-point favorites. I'll give the points. They've been playing really good. They've won 10 of their last 14. And in those 10 games, their 10 wins, they were all against really – I mean, they were against good competition. Whereas the Kings, they've been under 500. I think they're 5-7 in their last 12. And the Lakers just feel like a team that's ramping up for the playoffs a little bit more than the Kings right now. And they're playing at home as well. So I'll give the points and take the Lakers.
Well, there you go. And you keep track of everything Dre's putting out there because, like he said, Jordan Poole looks like a really good play tonight. They're at halftime in D.C. He's already got 16 points off the bench for the Wizards. So that's looking like it's a good play tonight. No jinx over here, though. I'm not going to say anything.
Right. We don't want to jinx it.
Right. It's looking good. You're allowed to say it's looking good. Andre Snelligs, ESPN senior NBA writer. Good catching up with you, Dre. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight on Amber and Ian.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me.
So there you go. All right. Now that doesn't consider as a jinx, right, Jake? Like if I said, "Oh, Jordan Poole, that's a lock. He's going to go over." That would be very terrible. But if I could say it's looking good, right?
Yeah. Hypothetically speaking, it appears like it's on the right track.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You got to be very careful. Nobody likes a jinx. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Tune into NBA action tomorrow night as the Mavs host the Heat. Oh, come on. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Let's switch gears to the National Football League. Coming up, big changes are happening in the AFC East. Is it up for grabs? That's next on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
I think Jake may think that I'm messing with him because if I could bring you behind the scenes here, when we're at commercial break here, and by the way, you're listening to Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So we'll have our break here, our commercial break, and you know we'll be doing whatever we're doing. I'm looking up stuff, getting ready for the next segment, what have you. I'm sure Jake is doing the same thing. And then, because this is the first time that I'm working with you, Jake, I'm trying to get to know you a little bit. I mean, you're a New Yorker. You like all the New York teams. That's okay. Nobody's perfect. So I'm trying to get to know you and that whole deal. And this is like three commercial breaks in a row. I'll ask you a question, and it is literally right as we're coming back onto air. Do you think that I'm screwing with you? Because I'm not. I'm trying to be nice here, but my timing is terrible.
Yeah, they're very personal questions too. Like, you know, what's your social security number? You know, how much money do you make a year before taxes? You know, so it's I don't know what to think, Zaz. I'm just here trying to do my job.
Well, if it were those questions, I would ask with plenty of time left in the commercial break so I can make sure that I get that information out from you. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. So if we could transition back to the National Football League, you got the franchise tags that are being thrown around. You got some franchise tags that are it would have been expected to be thrown around that are not being thrown around. And you got teams who are releasing some names that we didn't expect to be the case. Well, one of the divisions, specifically the AFC East, which is close to your heart, Jake, because you're a Jets fan, God bless, and close to my heart because I'm a Dolphins fan. Could probably say the same thing right back at me.
Well, which is more pathetic, by the way, the Jets having the longest playoff drought in North American sports or the Dolphins having the longest drought in the NFL since they last won a playoff game?
Wow. All right, so the Jets, nobody has missed the playoffs more years in a row than the Jets. Nobody has gone longer without a playoff victory than the Dolphins. I think I would go playoff appearance being worse, which means I'm throwing it back at your team. Like, am I wrong? I think without a playoff appearance is worse.
I'll tell you what. I think you guys are worse from this standpoint. I at least can recall the Jets being in the playoffs and winning multiple playoff games. Like, the Jets have won 6 playoff games and have been in 2 AFC championship games since the last time Miami has won a playoff game.
Yeah, yeah. That was back-to-back AFC championship appearances under Rex Ryan, right?
That's right. Rex Ryan, Mark Sanchez, those are my guys.
It's almost as good as winning the Super Bowl back-to-back years.
Wow, I mean,
when you're a Jet fan, it basically is.
You are a spoiled brat, James Steele. I mean, any chance he gets to talk about the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl for
the
third
that's right,
time
they did
years.
Win the Super Bowl. Yeah.
You guys
were
the Jets, though, before Mahomes. Think about it. The Chiefs only won that one Super Bowl. It was the year after the Jets with Namath. The Chiefs won Super Bowl 4, and then they hadn't won another Super Bowl since, and then Patrick Mahomes shows up, and now they're just going to win the Super Bowl seemingly every year.
It wasn't too long ago, right? What was it, James? It was like 22 out of 23 in the loss column for the Chiefs?
Yeah, I wasn't. I went through some bad times there as a Chiefs fan. Mostly
hard times.
My entire life up until the last 6-7 years.
All right. Well, Jake and I are seemingly still going through it. it's hard times, Daddy. All right, but the AFC East could look a little bit different this upcoming season. Now, first, let's hit on the Jets right quick. Aaron Rodgers was on the Look Into It podcast. And I don't know how many years you originally expected to get out of Aaron Rodgers, but he's making it sound like he's here for a while.
How can I be my best with my diet today, with my fluid intake, just everything down to a T to try and get better? And I got back on the practice field late in the season and couldn't get to a top speed sprinting, but really been in a good place rehab-wise from the start and feeling really good. And, I'm hopeful I can play 2 or 3 or 4 more years, but you need to have some good fortune there too.
All right, so Jake, you're a Jet fan. That must be music to your ears if you're hearing Aaron Rodgers wants to play potentially 4 more years.
Well, personally, I hope he only plays 1 if it means they win the Super Bowl and he retires on top. That being said, because I am a Jet fan.
A segment called We're Going to Say Crazy Things? Is that what we're doing?
I totally get that. Look, I do like hearing this from him just because, he was so year-to-year the last couple seasons in Green Bay. And I really do think he's kind of been, reinvigorated playing in New York. He took a $35 million pay cut to be a Jet. I think he's really embraced the city and the fan base. He's got to go out there and play. He's got to play at a high level to kind of guarantee himself a couple more years for the Jets to actually want him to be their quarterback. But I like having a fired up, motivated Aaron Rodgers. Typically that's when he's been at his best, when he has that chip on his shoulder. And I don't think the chip could be any greater than, losing your entire year 4 plays in on the opening drive. So from that standpoint, it excites me for at least, 2024 as far as what he looks like in 2025 and 2026 if he's still playing. If he plays great, the Jets are going to want him. If he doesn't, they're going to move on. So this is such a big year for him and that entire organization.
All right, so the Jets are going to look a lot different next year just if Aaron Rodgers plays. The Miami Dolphins. Let's hear from Tyreek Hill. He made an appearance on the Pivot podcast, and he spoke about Tua.
This year for Tua, this is like a build-on season because this is obviously his best season of his career. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to go from accurate to being that fearless, cocky, not really cocky, but
you
know
what I'm saying? The way he plays the game.
Yeah, like the way you play the game.
Like Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady.
He's going to continue to add on to his game. You feel me? Like because he got the skill set and he got the supporting cast to do it.
So the Dolphins, Jake, are also likely to look a lot different next year because they're clearly setting up for a massive Tua payday. They have allowed Christian Wilkins to test free agency. They are releasing Xavien Howard. They released Jerome Baker yesterday. So they're freeing up all kinds of money, presumably to allow Tua to sign for a big-time extension. So we also know, Jake, that the Dolphins are likely going to look a lot different. The team that may look the most different, the Buffalo Bills. Look at this. They cut. This is today. I mean, we were getting rapid-fire tweets from Adam Schefter this afternoon. The Bills cut Jordan Poyer, center Mitch Morse. I don't know if you're aware, Jason Kelsey, not available to replace him. He retired. He's doing a whole tour. Cornerback Saron Neal, wide receiver Deontay Hardy, and running back Nyheim Hines, and that creates around $26 million in salary cap space. They also are going to release Tre'Davious White, which could open up another $10 million, but that will be a post-June 1 cut. So the Bills are going to look a lot different. The AFC East, it feels like it could be up for grabs with a bunch of teams taking on possibly different identities, Jake.
100%. Look, if you tell me Aaron Rodgers is healthy, and that's a big if, but I know you're a Dolphins guy. We said the same thing about Tua, and to his credit, he played the entire season. Jets have a top-five defense, top-five special teams. If Rodgers is just good, the Jets should be in contention for the division, but the health of him coming back from this injury is probably one of the biggest storylines in the NFL next season.
Yeah, the Bills apparently entered today around $40 million over the cap, and you know, counting Tre'Davious White's number, which will be a post-June 1, they could be right around the number. So all these teams are making big-time moves when it comes to, you know, this offseason. These teams could look a lot different. All right, coming up next on Amber and Ian, are we on upset alert in college basketball tonight? We'll tell you next. This is ESPN Radio on the ESPN app and SiriusXM, Channel 80.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oh, yeah, I feel like you guys know when I'm in the driver's seat here. A little Rage Against the Machine for you on a Wednesday evening. Welcome back to Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. He's Jake Asman. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. We got a pretty good college basketball slate tonight. UConn and Marquette are getting going. Number 2 versus number 8 is getting going in a few minutes here. Maybe upset alert as number 1 Houston has just a 3-point lead midway through the second half at UCF. And number 4 Tennessee is up at number 17 South Carolina, 51-39. So we're getting close to the madness here, only a couple of weeks away. It does seem, Jake, like there's madness always in the National Football League. And we're just talking about how different the AFC East could potentially look coming up next season. The Buffalo Bills released a handful of players today. Aaron Rodgers mentioned he's planning on playing for several more years. The Dolphins have released a bunch of guys. As a Jets fan, this was a miserable season for you, but you're probably now going into next season with some renewed hope in that division, especially because we know the New England Patriots are somewhat dead.
Yeah, it's nice to dance on their graves, believe me.
Oh, so good.
And actually beating the Patriots and what ended up beating Belichick's final game as a Jets fan, like I don't care if the Jets went from picking 7 to 10 because of the win. I enjoyed every second of it, and I will not apologize for enjoying my team winning.
I can't do that, you know. It's so hard late in the season just to root for the losses. Because I've been through before as a Dolphin fan. I wouldn't root for the losses, but I would just kind of sit there stoic where it's like, whatever happens, happens.
100%. Like, to me, there's different circumstances with that, right? Like, when you know the entire coaching staff's getting fired, or there's a new GM coming in, they're cleaning house, then, like, that's different. It's like, what am I really rooting for? But I knew the Jets weren't firing Robert Saleh. I knew they weren't firing Joe Douglas. And you know what? Like, the Jets won because Breece Hall ran for, like, 170 yards. I'm going to root against Breece Hall being, like, one of the few incredible bright spots on this offense. So it's a tough thing to do. You know, that being said, look, I'm not going to lie to you. I had major expectations for this Jets team this past year. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers coming out with the flag on September 11th was one of the greatest moments of my life.
I'll admit, I hate the Jets. I'm not a fan of Rodgers. Jake, that moment was pretty cool.
It was amazing. And being there, I kid you not, was one of the greatest moments of my life. And then 10 minutes later, I kid you not, was one of the worst moments of my life. So I'm an optimist by nature. And I do think, at least in the regular season next year, if you tell me Aaron's healthy, they could be a pretty good team with this defense and Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. But, you know, I have major questions with the head coach, major questions with the offensive coordinator. But I look at the AFC East, and, you know, to your point and the question you asked me, I mean, the Jets have beaten the Bills with Zach Wilson in the regular season the last 2 years. You know, Miami, as good as they are, I mean, the record against winning teams was 1-5 a season ago. And the Jets do have a top-5 defense, top-5 special teams, and they won 7 games this past year. It's not like they were the Panthers and went 2-15. Sorry, Rachel, who's a Panthers fan producing our show tonight. So, yeah, I mean, I'm optimistic they could be a pretty good team next year. Do I have the same Super Bowl-level expectations I did a year ago? No, but, you know, maybe it's better to have lower expectations because then you could kind of fly under the radar as much as you could fly under the radar when your team is quarterbacked by the lightning rod that is Aaron Rodgers.
The Bills releasing all of these guys today, I think, is rather interesting, Jake, because I think you're now going to see there are certainly questions about Josh Allen and how far he can take your team, all right? But now, if the Bills are releasing guys like this, they got some salary cap issues and whatever moves they're going to wind up still making this offseason, I think we're going to find out now for certain how great Josh Allen is. Because if Josh Allen is an elite quarterback, and look, the Dolphins, we're going to go through this also because they're releasing a bunch of guys and they're setting themselves up for the Tua extension. I think the Dallas Cowboys have been going through this recently as well with how much money they paid Dak, how much they're going to pay him with an extension, and how far he can take the team if he's carrying them on his back. And the point being, with Josh Allen, if Josh Allen is an elite quarterback, if Josh Allen is as good as the Bills think he is, then all of these players who were released today, Jake, it shouldn't matter so much. If Josh Allen is so great, you can carry the team when they have to release players because of salary cap issues. So the Bills situation right now, to me, is the most interesting.
Yeah, because you look at the Bills, and the question has to be asked, have they missed their window to win it all? Has Mahomes and the Chiefs just gotten in their way? You know, you want to use a basketball analogy, almost like what happened with the Knicks in the 90s when, you know, Patrick Ewing and company kept running into Michael Jordan. You know, is Patrick Mahomes basically what Jordan was to guys like Patrick Ewing and, you know, John Stockton and Karl Malone, if you want to use an example out west, Charles Barkley, et cetera? It's a fair question. I still think in regards to the AFC East, until someone knocks off the Bills, whether it's your Dolphins or my Jets or I guess the Patriots maybe, like, it's still their division. But you have to wonder, like, is there a window to actually win an actual title? Has that closed? Like, have they – because think about it. They had the best opportunity to potentially do it. They got the Chiefs in their building and still couldn't beat them. You know, next
what
year,
everybody thought was a lesser version of the Chiefs.
Like, this is probably the worst version of the Chiefs we're going to see, at least offensively, and the Chiefs still won it all. So it's a fair question with the Bills in regards to winning a title. I still think, at least on paper, because they have Allen and they have won the division 4 years in a row, they have to be viewed as the favorites until someone knocks them off.
See, I don't agree with the idea that even the conversation of has the Buffalo Bills window closed? Because if you're willing to have the conversation, then you also need to follow that with, yeah, you know what? Josh Allen's not an elite quarterback. Because if Josh Allen is an elite quarterback, there's no such thing as the Buffalo Bills window closing. Like, the Cincinnati Bengals, I think we all agree that Burrow is an elite quarterback. Would anyone have a conversation, as long as Joe Burrow is playing in the National Football League under center, is anyone going to have a conversation about the Cincinnati Bengals window closing? I would think probably not, and that's because Joe Burrow is the quarterback. So to even have a conversation about the Bills and their Super Bowl window if you want to have that conversation, then you also don't believe Josh Allen's an elite quarterback.
Fair. I also think it's a little different, though, with Cincinnati, only from this standpoint. Burrow's been the only guy in the AFC that has actually beaten Patrick Mahomes when it's mattered. You know, like, Allen has failed to do it. Lamar Jackson now has failed to do it. Go down the list. Maybe Aaron Rodgers can do it. We have to see it. He obviously played four plays with the Jets this past year. So it just feels like Mahomes is basically the kryptonite to every quarterback in the conference besides Burrow, which is why I always believe in the Bengals, because I've seen Joe Burrow not just beat Mahomes once, but he's done it a couple other times in other games too. So I think that truly matters. Like, right now it's the Chiefs and everybody else until someone else establishes themselves once again as the team to beat.
But on the same level, you know, you mentioned Lamar Jackson there, and I got to see it from Lamar Jackson. He's only got two playoff wins. He's never had a season where he's won more than one playoff game in that postseason. But nobody's going to have a conversation about, is the Baltimore Ravens window closing? I haven't heard anyone say anything as such, because we all believe, yeah, as long as you have Lamar Jackson, you have a chance to play for the Super Bowl. So, again, if we're going to entertain that conversation, then we're also talking about maybe Josh Allen isn't the guy who we thought he was.
Do you think he's an elite quarterback, Josh Allen?
No, I think he turns the ball over way too much.
Interesting.
I think if you're as reckless as you are with the football, I don't think you can be an elite quarterback. I also think that while some things changed when they fired Ken Dorsey the last half of the season, when we're watching that playoff game, the Bills didn't trust him. They were not allowing him to throw the ball all over the field. It was a lot of safe passes. Now, I know on that final drive, you know, he threw it deep to Diggs. It went through his arms. There's nothing Josh Allen could do about that. I understand that. But outside of that attempt right there, did the Bills look to you like they were a team that trusted their quarterback? It didn't look like it to me.
Well, you could also point to specific throws he missed in that game, right? There was the throw to the end zone that was just out of reach.
Right after that.
Of the receiver, yeah, and I think it might have been Diggs who was open on the crossing route, but they took the shot at the end zone. Look, it is a fair criticism of Allen, because he hasn't won yet, and that's kind of how it goes, right? Until you break through, there's always going to be that doubt. I do think, though, he's an elite quarterback, because I can't think of five guys I would rather have before I would get to Allen. So, like, by definition, like, to me, if you're ranking quarterbacks in the league, he's one of the first five I'm going to take at this stage when you look around.
Gosh, are there five guys you would take ahead of Josh Allen? Five guys. I mean, I go Mahomes. I go Burrow. I go Lamar Jackson. I'm at three there. Can I come up with a couple more that I take? Would you take Trevor Lawrence over Josh Allen, Jake?
I would not. I think Trevor Lawrence is overrated. He's good, not great. We use the term generational with him. He's not Peyton Manning.
If he was generational, he'd be amazing already by now. I know it's only 3 years, but he'd be amazing. He's not generational. Is this crazy? Would you take CJ Stroud out of him?
Ooh, I got to be honest with you. I did radio in Houston for 5 years. I'm jealous of all the Texans fans with Stroud, man. I think I probably would. Is that crazy to say? I probably would take CJ Stroud over Josh Allen.
I don't think it's crazy. I think I'm taking Stroud ahead of him. James, you got something?
Yeah, so after they fired their offensive coordinator last year,
Buffalo.
He's a turnover machine, Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. So there, it was seven games. He threw 10 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. So it wasn't like he was good after.
They didn't trust him. And especially in that playoff game, they did not trust him.
And then in the playoffs, he threw 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, but 203 yards, 186 yards in those games.
Would you take Jordan Love over Josh Allen?
I can't put Jordan Love in that category yet.
Okay. Jalen Hurts?
I'd still go Allen over Hurts. I mean, Hurts has the one superstar year, and he wasn't that great this year. I mean, the numbers were down. They were 10-1. They fell apart, and I'm not putting it all on just Jalen Hurts, but I think Josh Allen is still a top-five quarterback in the league. It's tough to find five guys you would definitively take over him.
I got a good one for you. Brock Purdy. Would you take Brock Purdy over Josh Allen?
I like Purdy. I've been
2 years in the league, NFC Championship and Super Bowl.
I get it. The team he's on, though, it makes it tough to evaluate him. He's a really good quarterback. I think he gets too much hate and criticism. But come on, Josh Allen. You ask every NFL team, would they rather have Josh Allen or Brock Purdy? They're taking Josh Allen every time.
All right. All right, so we're hovering right around the five mark then, probably, with Josh Allen. James?
Did you say Matt Stafford?
I did not say Stafford, and I wouldn't take Stafford ahead of him just because we're talking age here, right?
Correct.
Like, I can't take Stafford. You know, Stafford coming out of Georgia. Okay, fine. Yes, I'll take that guy. But I can't take this version of Stafford. All right. So, overall, this AFC East up for grabs. Now, what else could be up for grabs? It doesn't look like the Eastern Conference in the NBA is up for grabs. The Boston Celtics are running away with that top spot. But is there another team in the Western Conference we should be paying a lot more attention to? That's next. You're listening to Amberine on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
I'm feeling really good here in South Florida right about now. You're listening to Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. He's Jake Asman, in for the guys tonight. And, of course, you can always tell your smart speakers to play ESPN Radio. Now, Jake, I'm feeling great because I'm a huge Heat fan. I mean, I was on the Heat radio broadcast doing pre-half post for 13 years. The Heat are my first love, all right? Who was your first sports love, Jake, in New York? Who was your first team?
Probably the Jets. It's a tie between the Jets or the Yankees. I started really getting into sports and watching both, like, you know, early, mid-2000s. So, like, the Yankees were still really good. Obviously, Derek Jeter was my favorite athlete growing up. But, you know, obviously the Jets haven't made the playoffs since 2010. But, you know, growing up as a kid, they're in the playoffs in 01 and 02 and 04 and 06. Like, I saw a lot of winning football. Then, obviously, you know, my teenager years with Sanchez and Rex, like, It wasn't really until post 2011 when it really started to get depressing, and I'm still depressed to this day in 2024.
So all right. So I'm learning a little bit about Jake here tonight, and the Heat being my first love in sports, I'm obviously very invested, and I'm feeling really good right about now because
you haven't won enough. You haven't seen enough championships in your lifetime.
Well, I like being in the mix. All right, Jake. I like, and we're always seemingly in the mix. And I feel like what's happening right now, I know the Celtic fan is feeling so good, you know, but my response, I can't wait to see the look on the Celtic fan's face when the Heat beat them this year in the second round instead of waiting until the Eastern Conference Finals, because it really feels like it's playing out the way that it always plays out for the Heat. And just like I thought, Jake, the Heat are going to go on a run in the second half of the season. They're on that run right now. And what's going to happen? Everyone now is going to start talking about them again. And guess what? It's happening. So on First Take, here's J.J. Redick, former NBA star, ESPN NBA analyst. He's taking note.
They are very dangerous. And look, everybody's going to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks and the run they've been on, the Boston Celtics and the run they've been on. The Heat had a 7-game losing streak at the end of January. Since then, they are 11-3, number two defense in the league over the last 14 games. They've got balance, they've got depth, and most importantly, playoff Jimmy is coming. He has been incredible since the All-Star break. 26 points a game, he's getting to the free throw line, he's shooting threes, he's playmaking. This is a team nobody wants to see in the Eastern Conference in the playoffs.
Jake, I mean, it's like J.J. Redick is whispering sweet nothings into my ear on
You
first
Heat fans
take.
Are the worst. Oh,
my God. I mean, you mispronounced the word best. I'll give you
so
a mulligan here.
So bad, Jake. It's so bad. I have to work with Amber every day. It is
what a pleasure.
Terrible.
Y'all couldn't even. You guys couldn't even like sell out your own building when you played the Knicks in the second round last year. It was like
completely untrue.
Half of New York was at South Beach for those games.
Oh well, that has nothing to do with selling out. The game was completely sold out. I mean, I can't control Heat fans that want to make a buck. You know, if the Knicks fan is so desperate to get out of New York City that they want to fly down to South Florida, they're willing to pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars for tickets. We can't do anything about that. I mean, that's not my problem. But man. We are in a spot now where people are looking for who is going to... Because the Eastern Conference is weak. Like, do you believe in the Milwaukee Bucks? There's a case to be made that you don't. Do you believe in Cleveland? You got to see it to believe it. I mean, Jake, Do you know who number four right now is in the Eastern Conference? The last home court spot in the first round. Do you know who number four is right now in the Eastern Conference?
It might be the Knicks, right? They're barely hanging on to the four,
or do they
drop?
They've dropped to five. They've dropped to five right now. The Orlando Magic are number four. And look, no disrespect to my interstate rival, but the Orlando Magic are the number four seed in the... I guess I do mean total disrespect. The Orlando Magic are the number four seed, but then you look down right now, and the Heat are coming, Jake. Now, I think the Knicks would be coming, too, if they're healthy, but they're not healthy right now. The Heat are coming. So I'm feeling great right now, and I know a lot of people, they look at the Heat, and they think it's disrespectful what they've done with the regular season where they don't take it serious. I don't, and, you know, based on what happened last year, I don't see it that way, all right? The Heat use this regular season to get ready for the playoffs. And part of that means you may have to take a step back, meaning you got to play certain guys when you're not necessarily thinking, you know, you want to get guys ready, some of the younger guys ready for the postseason. And in order to do that, it may not be your most optimal lineup in the regular season. So rather than going out there and trying to win as many games as possible, the Heat used it to try and get ready for the postseason. And now we're in a spot where we're ramping this thing up, and you're getting, like JJ said there, playoff Jimmy. Jake, I'm feeling really good about the Heat going into the postseason.
I would love to tell you you're wrong, but I can't because we've seen this with the Heat. And you made the point that we talked about earlier in the show as well. It just feels like it's very wide open. And honestly, even if you want to say the Celtics are the favorites, I mean, I'd imagine the Celtic fan after last year would want nothing to do with the Miami Heat again in the postseason. So I think the Heat are absolutely in the mix. One, once again, conference not great. Two, look, they probably have the best coach in the league in Eric Spoelstra. You got to give him his flowers. And Jimmy Butler, as J.J. Redick talked about, is a different player in the postseason. We've seen this now numerous times. So the Heat are right there in the mix. I wouldn't want to play them in the first round. I think you could say the same thing about the Knicks, as you bring up, if they're healthy. And that's what kind of makes the East so fascinating. You have this dominant Celtics team, but they haven't won that title yet. So there's still that self-doubt they got to go through to break through. No one trusts Milwaukee with Doc. I know they played better, but still, you got to do it in the postseason, Doc Rivers. Sixers, you can't count on them with the Embiid injury. They're done. Cleveland, I mean, I think they're a soft team. I don't love the Cavs. I feel like the East is wide open. You can make a case for a lot of teams. You could also nitpick and pick apart a lot of these same teams we're propping up right now.
Now, the Western Conference, Jake. You're listening to Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. He's Jake Asman. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. The Western Conference looks like it's going to be a bloodbath, all right? I really think we're going to get to the playoffs, and the seeds don't matter. I think any seed can beat any other seed, but I am wondering, a team that I don't necessarily believe in had a really big win last night in overtime in Denver. Are we paying enough attention to the Phoenix Suns?
It feels like until we actually see all their players healthy for a consistent amount of games,
Good luck with Bradley Beal. Good luck.
Beal's been banged up. Durant's always due for some sort of injury. Like, you know, I love Devin Booker, the player, but I think they played 23 games together, that big three. I got to see more before I'm fully buying it. Great win for them last night. Give them credit. I got to see more before I'm going to say the Suns are right there with the upper echelon teams in the West.
I don't believe in Durant as the top guy. I don't. I mean, his whole career, which I think is about 13 years outside of Golden State, he's been to the finals one time. One time outside of Golden State. I don't believe in Kevin Durant as the top guy. I don't know that Phoenix team has enough depth. I do know, though, that, I mean, if Phoenix were to drop down into the play-in scenario, the number of stars that are going to have to play do-or-die type games, because Phoenix is just ahead of it at number six. All right, we'll ask an expert if he believes in Phoenix. Should the Celtics be afraid of the Heat? That's coming up next. You're listening to Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.